I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the subject before us this evening in this Bible study is Jesus, the Son of God, our great high priest. And I would like us to consider these verses together this evening in a devotional manner for our spiritual encouragement. We have an assured reason this evening to hold fast our profession. We have an assured reason this evening to come boldly to the throne of grace, because there is a great high priest at the Father's right hand in heaven as we speak, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the perfect man, in his glorified body, yet still showing his wounded side and his pierced hands and feet. As the hymn writer said, "See where before the throne he stands and pours the all-prevailing prayer, points to his side and lifts his hands and shows that I am graven there." But here we're reminded in our verses that he is Jesus, the Son of God, and he dwells in glory on the throne. He is equally God with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Our high priest then this evening is truly great, and he is able to save unto the uttermost. He is able to intercede for all conditions of the soul. Whatever condition you may be in this evening, we have a great high priest who understands, and he's able to intercede for your condition if you will but trust in him wholly and completely. He is seated at the Father's right hand on the throne of glory, and he presents us before our Father as perfect in his own righteousness as we believe and trust in him by faith. And he presents our petitions before the Father, and he does so feelingly, he does so wholeheartedly, he does so with an understanding, he does so with compassion, he does so in a supportive manner for his people as their good shepherd. And so here is an assured reason this evening. Let us hold fast our profession, because Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, is also our great high priest in heaven above. So, with absolute authority through God's word given to us here, we are encouraged to actually come boldly to the throne of grace because of who is there interceding on our behalf. We should come then by faith initially for salvation, and then come continually for our cleansing and for our strength and sanctification, for spiritual blessings come to us under the sovereign will of the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit of God. And we are encouraged to come to obtain mercy that God will not deal with us according to what we deserve, according to our iniquity, but according to his abundant mercy in Christ Jesus. And to obtain grace, that God would not only give us saving grace as we come to him as a repenting sinner in those initial stages of the work of walking with the Lord, but we need sustaining grace. We need grace for each day. We need to come every day to this wonderful and great high priest because we have a need for grace for each day. We are told here clearly, grace to help in time of need. And we never, as the Lord's people, can live a minute of the day without needing the Lord Jesus. And so we live by grace. We look to the God of all grace. So these verses then are the crown jewels of God for encouragement to prayer. And they provide for us this evening God-given assurance. And this is God's assurance for us this evening. And this assurance is centered in the person and work of Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed into the heavens, our great high priest. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let us then have confidence this evening in our Saviour and in our great high priest, our intercessor in heaven, he who for men their surety stands and gave his life on Calvary's cross, pursues in heaven his mighty plan, the Saviour and the friend of man. Thomas Watson, the Puritan preacher and writer, made this remarkable statement once, and he said, prayer, as it comes from the saint, is weak, and sometimes languid, that is true. But when the arrow of a saint's prayer is put into the bow of Christ's intercession, it pierces the throne of grace. So we have our arrow, we put it into a bow, and the bow is the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our arrow may be weak, but the bow is strong. And when our weak prayers are given into the hands of a mighty and great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, they pierce the throne of grace. So within the median of our text this evening, that is, our great high priest being an understanding, sympathizing high priest, there are a number of aspects which go with this most remarkable statement here. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we're going to meditate upon these just for a few moments this evening to assure us and to encourage us to boldness in coming to the throne of grace. First of all, then, we are told here quite clearly our Lord Jesus Christ is an understanding intercessor. We read he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the word infirmity here has to do with our frailty, our weaknesses, both in body and in mind. And yet Jesus, the Son of God, understands completely this evening your experience. He understands your pain. He understands how you are feeling. His heart is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is sympathetic toward our situation. He sympathizes, for he himself has experienced severe temptation and trials and affliction here on earth. Yet in all his warfare with the devil and in his sufferings, he remained sinless. Nevertheless, despite our Lord being sinless, and we being sinners saved by grace, he understands our experiences. The Lord Jesus fully understands the experience of temptation, of trial, of testing, of persecution, of suffering, of affliction. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And I want us to notice here this evening, for further encouragement, that he was in all points tempted like as we are. And so whatever Satan may say to us this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ can't understand this situation that I am in. He does understand. He is the wise intercessor. He is the sympathizing and great high priest. And he is in all points. This is the wonderful all in Scripture. There are many of them. All things work together for good. That's another one. But here is a most remarkable all when we consider the understanding of our great high priest in heaven above. He was in all points tempted like as we are. So the first point for encouragement this evening is that our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, understands. He understands the way that you are taking. And as the sympathizing and great high priest, he is interceding for you as a believer with true understanding and sympathy. But developing from this theme of a sympathizing, understanding high priest, it is also the truth that he is a most competent intercessor. Christ is, we might say, a skillful intercessor because he knows God the Father and he knows us perfectly. He's in perfect union with the Father. He's in perfect union with the Holy Spirit of God. He knows as God himself what is the will of God, the will of the triune God as one God. So he knows God because he is God. But he knows us completely and utterly. When he was here on earth, there were times when the disciples were having a little discussion between themselves and Christ was out of earshot, but we are told that he knew what they were talking about. He knows everything about us. He can plead for us in harmony with God's will and in harmony with God's word and in harmony with our real needs. Our real needs. He knows what is good for us. He knows exactly what we need. He doesn't need any advisors because he is infinite in knowledge as both God and man. He has the experience, he has the knowledge, he has the wisdom, he has the understanding to speak on our behalf. And we can be sure that he always has your best interests at heart. He is the pure intercessor. His intercession is marked by the perfect standard of his righteousness. There is no deviation from the truth of God in his intercession. There is no deviation from the will of God in his intercession. There's no deviation from the word of God in his intercession. His intercession, being pure, is always pleasing to God the Father. Being pure and in accordance with his Father's will, there is no plea of Christ which is made on our behalf that is rejected by the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, provides for us pure access as he intercedes for us as a righteous advocate before the throne of God above. I have a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. But then I would remind you this evening that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a prompt intercessor. There are no prayers left unattended, forgotten, but diligently dealt with, purely and efficiently. Indeed, there are times when our intercessor in heaven is not only prompt and attentive, but he is proactive in his intercession. You remember how he was praying for Peter before Peter denied his Lord. He was proactively praying for Peter before Peter prayed himself when he fell, We read in Luke 22, verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here to Peter, I know that, Peter, you are going to fall, but I've already prayed for thee, Peter. I'm already interceding for thee, Peter. That's a profound thought for us this evening. As we sometimes struggle in our Christian lives and we go perhaps in a wrong way in some situation, it's a profound thought to think that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going before his people in intercession. He is the prompt, we might say, also the proactive intercessor. He is indeed the wise intercessor, for he intercedes for all our petitions that accord with God's will, and they are answered all according to God's timing. So it is in verse 16 that according to the divine timing of God, we find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, he is then the compassionate intercessor. And that's really a development of the thought of him being a sympathizing high priest. As the Son of God, he receives thousands of prayers continually to present to the Father. And each one is understood, and beyond their comprehension, he enters into each prayer of his people with feeling. You remember how the Apostle Paul, in his testimony, speaks of how he was converted and how the Lord Jesus met him in his glory on the road to Damascus. And the Lord Jesus spoke and asked Paul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He was, as the head of the church, feeling and touched with the persecution of the church. He sits where we sit. He understands. He understands the assault of the enemy. He understands the temptations. He understands the opposition, the oppression, the hindrances, the weaknesses. He understands the day in which we are living. He is the earnest intercessor. There is nothing mechanical and lifeless about the intercession of Jesus, the Son of God. He presents our petitions undoubtedly with warmth, with fervor, because he is sincerely for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? He makes our case his own, for he intercedes as one with us, Emmanuel, God with us, our friendly advocate. For Jesus is the friend of sinners. Those that come to him as a sinner, realizing they are a sinner, and looking to him and trusting him and believing in him. And as they go on then the pilgrim way, they're constantly looking to him as their friend. A friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And we have an example of one of his earnest prayers of intercession in the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and verse 24. And there we read, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now, what a prayer of intercession that is. Father, it is my heartfelt desire that those whom thou hast given to me, that they be with me where I am, that they can experience glory, that they can experience heaven, that they can experience this wonderful fellowship with God themselves. as I know, fellowship as the Son of God with the Father of God and the Holy Spirit of God, that there can be a union between God and his church, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. He is the authoritative intercessor, for he has been authorized by God to obtain mercy for his own people. And as the great high priest, he has been set upon the holy hill of Zion as the representative of the church. He has been commissioned by God the Father and has the government of the church upon his shoulders. And he intercedes with God-given authority. And he together then with the Holy Spirit is the unique intercessor. He and he alone has the ear of the Father in the throne room of heaven. We have the blessed intercession of the Holy Spirit within us as believers, enabling true and living prayer. But then we have the intercession of Jesus, the Son of God, before the Father. And he is the one person who is authorized and uniquely called and able to intercede for us in heaven. He alone atones for our sin, and he alone intercedes for the sinner in heaven as we trust in him. He alone obtains all the graces of the covenant from the Father to bestow on his people by the Holy Spirit of God. He is then the unique intercessor, but he is also the prevailing intercessor. He prevails over your doubts. He prevails over your fears. He prevails over Satan's insinuations. He prevails over the assaults of Satan. Nothing can stop him in his mission of intercession on behalf of his people as their Savior and Lord and great high priest. We read, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So because we have this great high priest, this wonderful Savior, this all-sufficient Savior, this all-sufficient great high priest, and we look to him, who is he that condemneth? Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. An uttermost condition, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is the prevailing intercessor, but he is also the constant intercessor. There is never a time when it is not right to go to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And our great high priest is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we read, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And so we can be encouraged to know that the one who encouraged his disciples to watch and pray because of their infirmities and vulnerability against temptation, and that, of course, is a wise exhortation for us. He is the one who constantly watches and prays, not for himself, but for every member of his church. But then, if you will please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. As you know, the Old Testament tabernacle had two parts. There was the outer part for the sacrifices. There was the inner part, the holy place for intercession. And so the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of both parts of the tabernacle, for he is both the sacrifice and the holy intercessor, the high priest in the holy place, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, Christ and his church, Emmanuel, God with us. Think then of Jesus Christ as the minister, being the one who serves. A glorious and great high priest is the minister of the sanctuary. And he's a minister who serves his people even as we speak, as he intercedes for us. What glorious intercession is this? What glorious condescension also is this? Now, the first time the word minister is mentioned is in the life of Moses, when Joshua is described as his minister, one who served Moses and remained loyal to Moses. And so the Lord Jesus came to this earth not to be ministered to, but to minister. And we read, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And now in heaven as we speak, his pure delight is to minister for needy sinners like me and like you, to serve his people. He is one who is truly a servant of the Lord's people. In the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministry finds its fullest and perfect meaning and sense. His ministry of serving is sacrificial. It was his own blood that was shed as a sacrifice for sinners. His ministry as our high priest and advocate before the Father, it is wise and pure. It's always the best for us. The only minister in heaven of all those who repent of their sin and trust in him as their Savior. He is the perfect minister who serves his people in heaven while reigning in glory as the Son of God. But think not only of him as the Savior, but the minister who washes his followers' feet. He cleanses and sanctifies us by the Holy Spirit. He's willing to identify with us as needy sinners. And we come to him with our failures. We come to him with our weaknesses. And he intercedes for us. The Lord Jesus continues to minister for us in heaven, even though we come to him unclean so many times. He washes us clean. He has provided for us a robe of righteousness to present us perfect before the Father. So he's not only the Savior, he's not only the great high priest who intercedes, he is the minister in the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. But think of him not only as the minister to serve, but also the minister who is the only mediator of the new covenant, the everlasting covenant of grace. He is the minister with authority to mediate for needy sinners and to needy sinners all the blessings of the new covenant. Forgiveness, peace with God, justification, spiritual blessings, our wisdom, strength, fruitfulness, eternal life, and heaven at last. Oh, the Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, what an amazing privilege it is then to be served by the Lord Jesus Christ, our minister in heaven, our great high priest. He has an excellent ministry in which he intercedes for unworthy, undeserving, helpless sinners. His work in heaven is to serve sinners saved by grace, his grace, God's grace. His honor is to be praised and adored by sinners saved by grace. And we have to look to him to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are to be encouraged this evening in our great high priest that it will give us a holy boldness to come with confidence and assurance, because we have at the Father's right hand a great high priest who is speaking for us, interceding for us. Robert Murray M'Cheyne once said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. If I could actually hear audibly the Lord Jesus Christ interceding for me, I wouldn't fear a million enemies." And this is what he says, "Yet the difference makes no difference. The distance makes no difference, for he is praying for me in heaven." Let us hold fast then. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, for this is where we find mercy, and this is where we've obtained grace. There is no other way. John Calvin once said, "God can listen to no prayers without the intercession of Christ." And as I come to conclusion this evening, I just want to read to you two further references from the letter to the Hebrews to really attempt to magnify this great high priest in your hearts this evening and in your minds. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Just these two references and we'll come to conclusion. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholded all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And that is where he is now, our great high priest, ever living to make intercession for his people. But then we turn on to verse 14 of chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Amen.